So John chapter 1, St. John chapter 1, and I just really want to focus on just a couple of verses. So let's just look at verse 4 and verse 5, but I want you to look at verse 4, and I'll read it for you. It says, in him was, talk back.
Life.
In him was life, and that, and the life was the what?
Light.
Light of who?
Man.
All right, verse 5. And the light did what?
Shining.
Where?
In darkness.
And what happened?
And the darkness comprehended it not.
In him was life, L-I-F-E. Matter of fact, I should switch those. And that life was the light of men. And the light, that's what the text says, shineth in darkness. Now that's heavy. I want you to see something. And the darkness did not comprehend it. And I want to show you that that word is even deeper than understand. But for now, let me share something. So this is John 1, 4, and 5. Now, what we want to find out when we look at a Bible book is we want to find what's called the key themes. What is the writer writing about? What's his theme? What's the book about? And may I say this? The whole Bible, I'm talking about the whole Bible, is about life. And what we get in the Bible is life oftentimes it is compared to light. So L-I-F-E oftentimes stands in the place of that which is, or you see light signifying life, which then would bring us to something very obvious. Then darkness, right, will signify for us most of the time death. So what you have in the Bible as an overall theme is life and then death. And there's a way to life, and then there's a way to death. There's a path that leads into light, and then there's a pathway that leads to what?
Death.
So if you got light and darkness, anytime you talk about the people walk in light, that means they walk in life, which involves enlightenment, which involves knowledge, wisdom, understand all that. And then when you see people who walk in darkness or the works of darkness and all that, so you have this theme that begins in chapter 1, verse 1 of the Bible, where Yah, as he creates the world, the very first thing he says is, let there be, talk back to me somebody, light. So the idea that we get from just understanding just that little bit is that when he created light, it was obviously for the purpose of life. Because in order for us to have any life on the planet, we first have to have, talk back to me somebody, some light.
That's right.
And we are also informed in Genesis chapter 1 that you don't have to have the sun, S-U-N, to have light. You can have light without the sun shining.
Amen.
Somebody say, oh, how is that possible? Well, how can you see me right now? It's dark. Sun ain't shining. But guess what we did? We took electrical waves that we can't even see. We don't really understand. We put them in motion through some tubes and wires. And by doing that, created some type of a friction, some type of a frequency that then illuminated the room without the help of the actual sun. The sun is not shining, and yet we are sitting in the light. Well, if humans can have light without the sun, because we don't get the sun to the fourth day, then you know Yah can create light, right? He's the master of light. Later on, he uses the sun as the lamp that lights up our particular solar system. But y'all get my point, is that the principle of light comes before the actual sun or the bearer of light, the S-U-N itself. We get light before we got the sun.
Right.
Which tells us then that it is light in the Bible as a theme that equals life. All right? So, John's gospel does the same thing. His key themes are going to always be light and life, or it's going to be dark and death. Always. As a matter of fact, he will actually say things like, when Judas went out to betray Yeshua that night, it says, and it was dark. He puts that little phrase in there to let you see how he, here's the word, juxtapositions those two things. Now, what we also discover is Yehoshua is called the Word, right? So write that down. Yehoshua is the Word. So if Yehoshua is the Word, then the Word also equals light. And the Word also equals life. L-I-F-E. So the presence of the Word brings life or light and then life. The absence, if y'all catch this, that's my whole lesson. The absence of the Word is darkness, then it leads to what?
Death.
So when we look at John's theme, we know that he's talking about a pathway or a lifestyle that leads to life and one that leads to death. We also know that he's dealing with Yehoshua being the Word that brought light to the planet, that offered men or presented to man eternal life. So it's all about life. And I want you to understand that. Let that sink in. That if we're not working through this Bible and coming together so that we can know life, L-I-F-E, and so that we can have life, L-I-F-E, and so that we can walk in whatever true life is, and to have life more abundant, then we're wasting our time. How can you have a more abundant life if you are not what's the word I want to use? If you are not stacking up in your heart an abundance of light or abundance of the word. The more word you have, y'all with me now? The more light you possess, the better life you live. So if you, the more word that's in you, the more that you get, the more word that illuminates your heart, the more light you have, the better life, L-I-F-E, you live. So the less word equals more darkness, which makes a worse life. So watch this. If you take the average, and I'm talking about average, church-going person, I'm not even going to talk about the non-church-going people, because the numbers would drop even more drastic. If you ask the average non-going church person to quote a scripture, they may come up with one, and then it will be quoted probably wrong. You ask the average church-going person to give you some scriptures or quote some scriptures, and I promise you, the average one cannot accurately quote 5 verses of the Holy Manuscript. I don't care how old they are. Outside of maybe Psalm 23, and they probably can't do that whole thing, and take out the Lord's Prayer, they don't know nothing. So watch this. Watch this. That means they are in darkness. And that means they're walking in death. When the Bible talks about blind, leading the blind, it's not a pretty picture. He says, because the end thereof is destruction, death. They both fall into the pit. So, and I'm not mad at anybody. I'm saying churches have done their members a great disfavor by telling them you don't have to know the Bible. You don't have to read certain verses, certain scriptures, certain books, certain laws, certain commandments, certain precepts, certain instructions. Because the more they do that, the more they keep the people in darkness, the more the people never learn what it means to live. Watch this. Life. As a matter of fact, most people who go to church to this day think that they had a better life before they joined church. Because when you sit around, they start bragging about life. They say, "Woo, I can remember when." And they start talking about, "I was doing this and I was doing that and blah, 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 blah." And you're like, "Wow, you are real knowledgeable of that which is worldly and carnal. But you don't have nearly the same amount of light compared when you start talking about that which is spiritual and holy, which is the word of Yah. So there is, and I'm already here. I'm already on number 3, because then I'm going to spend most of my time at the last point. But I'm already at number 3. Light, watch this, and life, L-I-F-E, then has natural enemies. Natural enemies. This is not rocket science. This is putting it right there so everybody can grab it tonight. What is the enemy of light?
Darkness.
What is the enemy, watch this, of life? Do you think as light bearers, Zion, that y'all about to make it through this world without opposition. Your very existence, you Hebrews, is one of conflict, because the natural enemy, darkness, has a head start on you. You never gonna fit in here. This world is under the power of darkness, according to the Holy Manuscript. So how is it that you think for one moment that you're going to walk in the light of Yah and not face conflict every day in every way, sometimes by your kinfolk, your friends, families, children or parents? It does not matter. Light has natural, I better say it again, enemies. Natural. Darkness has a particular power, and so what we have to do to overcome darkness, we've got to find another power source called light. Because we need much power to dispel darkness. But don't ever think just because there's light that darkness is not trying, watch this, to get back in the room. Let me say it like this. It takes a lot of energy in a room this size to have the light in this room. We turn on the light. How many? One, two, three, four. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How many is that? 24? And there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 bulbs in each one. And each one of them about 4 feet long. So you mean to tell me we got to have over 100 and something bulbs in one room so that we can have enough light just to read the manuscript, Zion? I guarantee you, take the bulbs out and darkness will rush back in this room. Because there's a battle going on in here between the light and the darkness. While the light is shining, it's winning. But if I start taking out bulbs, one at a time, you're going to see something real strange. It's going to get darker and darker and darker to the point that the darkness will eventually overshadow what was light. So here's what I'm trying to say, Zion. A lot of us think that this is going to be an easy walk once you come into the truth of the Most High Yah, His Word, His Son, His laws, His precepts, His commandments. You thought people were going to love you because you were trying to help them see truth. And you forgot that we were actually dealing with, watch this, not a made-up enemy, not a manufactured enemy, but a natural enemy who's always there all the time, waiting for an opportunity to once again overshadow you with darkness. You got to be careful, because there's powers of darkness. Natural enemies. If you are a natural enemy of the light, that means you are a natural enemy of life. Now, watch this. Anybody who's rebelling or fighting against the light is also fighting the word. Anytime you try to show somebody the Bible and they keep saying, I can't see it, or you try to say, well, let's read together, I ain't got time, understand you're dealing with the power of darkness. For the first time, some of you all are starting to see that this is not no easy walk, Zion. You're starting to see that you don't have no mamby-pamby enemy. You have an enemy so powerful that whenever you just attempt to say, let's just read it together, as soon as you try to open that light up to them, they immediately fight you with all their might. And the Bible says the light shall shine in darkness. I was reading this. And that's why I wanted to bring this lesson out tonight, because I'm going to deal with this last point right here. Satan's main job. But the natural enemy is trying to kill you. Your enemy wants to kill you. That's just understand that. Darkness wants to put out the light. There is no middle ground in this thing. It ain't no such thing as, can we just get along? What they want you to do is shut the hell up. Because men love, mankind, they love darkness. See, you think because you love light, everybody loves light and wants to come into the light. So you keep bringing the light, all happy-go-lucky. Hey, let me show you what I just learned in Bible study. Not knowing that the folk you're trying to share with hate the light. Yes. They love darkness. The Bible tells us why they love darkness. Because they're deeds. Oh, but don't believe me. Let's look in the Bible. Turn to, y'all all know John 3:16, but you don't know John 17 and 18 19. That's the devil again. He don't want you to know the book, you Hebrews, children of Zion. But I want you to know the Bible. You already know Yah loved the word. So loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, who was Yehoshua, which is the word made flesh. That's been established in chapter 1. That whosoever believeth in him, that's the word, should not perish but have everlasting what? Life. What I tell you his themes are. Life and light. Don't ever forget that. We're going to see it constantly through the book. But watch this. For Yah sent not his son into the world to do what? But that the world through him might be saved. So light came here for a reason. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Anybody who's believing the word Torah and the Tanakh, the law and the prophets, is not condemned. But he that believeth not, is what? Why? Because he has not believed, because he has not believed. See that right there? It tells you why they're condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name. I don't even have time to deal with that tonight. Because how can you believe in the name if you don't know the name? If somebody comes and changes the name on you. It's called trickeration, Zion. They show up and change the name knowing that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Why would you change the name of the Savior, Yahushua, but keep the name of HaSatan? Because you do know they keep the Hebrew name of Satan in the Old Testament, Satan, in the New Testament, Satan. Satan, Satan. But all of a sudden when it comes to Yahushua, we got to do a name change. Or when it comes to Yahweh, or Yahuwah, we got to have a cover up. I'm trying to help you, Zion. It's in the Bible. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of Yah, who John has already told us, Yohanan tells us, is the Word. We know that. Now watch 19. And this, please underline this. If you got it, highlight it, something. And this is the condemnation. This is the problem. This is the issue. This is why the world is condemned. And this is the condemnation, comma. What is it? That light, is come. Do you see it?
Yes.
Here is the issue. Light has come. Light has come. Light's here. Why is there going to be a great condemnation? Because light has come. Into the where? And men? Whoa! And men did what? Wait a minute. So I didn't come to condemn the world, but let me show you. This is the Bible talking. But let me show you what has condemned the world. What has condemned the world is that light shone in darkness. The light came and shone in the darkness. And right in the Bible it says, light is coming to the world and men loved darkness. You see that word love? Cleave to, held on to, had an emotional attachment. Watch this. Rather than, if you got light, darkness rather than light, that means you love death rather than life. Now watch this. Why did they lie? Because you always ask these questions when you Jade is at that age right now. Everything is why. Why? Why? Hey, we're getting ready to go fishing. Why? Because we're going to go to the boat. Why? Because we like going fishing. Then you get on the water. Daddy, give me a fishing pole. I said, here you go. She said, what do I do? I said, do this. Why? Because we try to. Why? Why? Everything is why, because she wants to know. When you study the Bible, Zion, listen to me, you Hebrews. Ask why all the time. Because the Bible will tell you. Now, the Bible don't tell you a whole lot of hows. Don't ask me how he made the heaven and earth. I can't help you. Don't ask me how. I'm not good at the how. I don't know how he took the firmament and divided the firmament which was below the firmament from the firmament which was above the firmament, which gave us our atmosphere. I don't know how he said, let the dry ground appear, and it just popped out of it. I don't know how he put the seed in every tree and how he, no, I don't know how. Don't ask me how. Ain't no whole lot of hows. Miguel, I don't know how he made sugar sweet. I don't know how he made pepper hot. I don't know how he put salt in the sea. Don't ask me how. But you can ask why. And in the Bible, there are so many verses that will tell you why. Anytime you see a word like because or for in your English translation, he's trying to tell you, talk back to me, why? So here's the answer. Why do men love darkness rather than light? Because they're right here. We're what? All right. So now we understand something. Anybody who rejects light does it because they're evil. Oh, don't come telling me how sweet they are. Oh, but you just don't know them. They have a good heart. Oh, blah, blah, blah. Let the Bible be true and every man a liar. When you don't like the light, it's because your deeds are evil. What deeds? What deeds? Why are you so quick to say, I don't want to study the whole Bible? And why are you mad at making the whole Bible apply to you? Because you've got some evil deeds. And whenever you talk about I'm not under the law, it's because some of your deeds don't agree with Yah's laws. And you love what you do more than what Yah says. So you're going to take a position that I don't have to do it because I'm free. So you're not even going to read the passage. So you're not going to come to the light at all because your deeds are evil. Somebody say, well, I just like pork. I don't care what nobody say. And I don't think, this is what they say, I don't think pork is a big deal. I don't think a swine is a big deal. Listen to me. Hear this, Zion, tonight. You Hebrews, hear me. This ain't about what you think. Are you out your mind what you think? Who cares what you think? This Bible was not written to satisfy how you think about something. It's what he thinks about something. If he says something is important, it is. If he says something is not important, it ain't. If he says something is clean, it is. If he says something is unholy, it ain't holy. Are y'all with me in here? If he says something is common, it could be common. It's common. If he says it's uncommon, it's uncommon. And this ain't about you. But watch this. You don't want to be shown that in the Bible because your deeds are evil. But don't believe me. I told y'all, don't believe me. I'm not the person to believe. If you don't, let's keep reading. For everyone... I'm in the Bible. I'm looking right at it. Verse 20. That doeth evil. Come on, somebody, talk back. Hates what?
The light.
Are you serious? Uh-oh. Now watch this. I know I'm tiptoeing in some dangerous areas for some of y'all. Y'all think Master finna come in here and get us. But I don't have a problem telling you what I'm about to tell you right now. Verse 20 says, everyone that does what? Everyone that does evil hates what?
The light.
If you hate the light, that means you also hate the word. And if you hate the word, you hate Yahushua. Don't come telling me how much you love Jesus. Oh, I just love my Jesus. And you show him something, say, oh, you do know his name is not Jesus, it's Yahushua. All my life, I've been calling him Jesus. I ain't gonna change now. Whoa, are you in love with the name or the person? Because if you're in love with the person, then you would love the person's real name. And you would immediately understand how important it is that you address him as Yahushua, which is Yah salvation. So you say, well, you do know, Zion, we've been given some laws and some precepts and some principles that we are to live by. They say, oh, that's Old Testament. Say, wait a minute, but the Old Testament is the word of Yah. Oh, yeah, but we're not under that word. But the word became flesh. Oh, yeah, but the word, when it became flesh, it told us we ain't got to be under the word. Do you see how dumb the cycle becomes? See, either you in or you're out. Either you love the whole word or you don't love no word. Because the Bible says the scriptures cannot be broken. John chapter 10. You cannot say, I'm not getting down with the Bible, because that's what we call Old Testament, when Yahushua is. The Bible says, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and it is they that testify of me. I'm not done. I'm almost done, but I'm not. done completely because I want you to see something. Verse 20 again. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. Neither comes where? Oh, y'all just expect everybody to show up at the Bible Fellowship. Oh, because we in the truth, this place going to get packed. Are you serious? There ain't going to be no more. There's no such thing as a Bible-based megachurch. It's an oxymoron. You can't have a megachurch that's Bible-based. Because as soon as you start teaching Torah, you're going to lose 90% of those folk. I'm talking about you lose them over something simple like Christmas is satanic. Oh, man, 90% of your congregation. You ain't going to have no mega church telling them that Santa Claus is the devil and that the Easter Bunny is an outright lie. And that name should not even be spoken in the congregation of the righteous. When they whole year, all they do is gear up for the Easter play. They ain't coming to the light. The Bible says, lest their, talk back. I can't see y'all. Y'all got to help me. Lest their what? Should be what? Nobody likes a whooping. I'm going to say it again. Nobody likes a whooping. Okay, so here is wisdom, Zion. Only lawbreakers fear the law. Only lawbreakers hate the law. Law keepers ain't got no problem with the law. Did you catch that, Zion? Okay, let me break it down to something so elementary, even my 3-year-old can catch it. When I was younger, I used to drive fast. And y'all know me. I got a motorcycle, and I couldn't keep it under 100. That's just me. I, matter of fact, even now, I wrestle with it. That's why I don't ride that particular bike too much no more. But then I had fast cars, too. Y'all know that. And I used to be mad, like, why you put 150 on the speedometer if you don't want me to at least try to see if the car will go? I mean, if I'm going to buy it, shouldn't I know it will do what it say? I mean, I don't want to buy a lie now. If you put 150 on my thing, I should be able to make it go. Amen. And I was just one of them fellas that would try it. Matter of fact, I tried it a couple times. Watch this. And you get a couple tickets. The whole time, I'm just breaking it down to something elementary, like child level. The whole time you're speeding, you're looking out for the law. You worried about the law. You scared of the law. Matter of fact, you don't even want to see the law. Why? Because you know what you're doing is what? Against the law. So therefore, the whole time you're in the car, speeding, doing what you want to do, you have created a particular level of anxiety inside of you. Watch this. And you're developing an unwarranted hatred toward the law. Because the law ain't done nothing to you but tried to save your life or somebody else's life from you flying at 140, 150 miles an hour. Did you catch that? Now watch this. About 6, maybe 7 years ago now, true story, Scout's Honor. Whatever that means, I'm going to stop saying that. Cause Scouts, ain't no telling what they be lying about. I told myself, that's the last speeding ticket I'll ever get in the rest of my life. I'll never get another one. 7 years ago, I said, wherever I got to go, I'm going the speed limit. So if it says 65, that's why all my cars, except for the old school cars,
have cruise control. I promise you. And what I do, Marika's right there. What I do is when I see whatever the sign says, if it says 55, I lock it in at 55. I push the button and I ride. If it says 65, I go 65 and ride. If it says 70, I go 70. I push the button and I ride. And guess what? One, my anxiety immediately disappeared. Because once you're going the speed limit, you're not ever worried about getting pulled over. That's weird. So I was like, oh, this is cool. When I get to where I'm going, I'm not all stressed out for some reason. You know, I'm trying to save 5-10 minutes. You know, and I'm paying $400 and $500 for a ticket. And you lost your 4 or 5 minutes when they pulled you over, because now they pull you over and then all the, you know what I'm saying, and the ticket and the embarrassment, all that. So watch this. I just stopped doing it. This ain't no bragging thing. I'm just telling you the truth. Because this is a dumb, this is a low, this is not even a worthy illustration. I'm just bringing out one. Second thing, I stopped fearing the highway patrol. I don't even think about them anymore. Whereas they used to, I was occupied in my mind with the fuzz, the cops, the heat, Mr. Friendly. Because I was speeding. You know what? It wasn't until I started actually driving the speed limit. I'm talking about locking it in. That for the first time, I saw the highway patrol, watch this, as necessary. I begin to see how much we need the highway patrol. And how the highway patrol is not out there to give me a ticket, but he's out there to help ensure that everybody on the road makes it from point A to point B. And to keep people from just flying willy-nilly, because it could be my child, it could be my wife, you get it? Your husband, your wife, your baby, your cousin, from somebody breaking those laws. So all of a sudden, watch this, my attitude about them changed. And I started appreciating the fact that while other people were kicking it at home with their wives holding hand and amen and with their kids, these fellas is out on the streets, patrolling the street, the freeways, going up and down, pulling people over, putting their lives in danger so that we can make it home safe. I said, wow, that's crazy. It happened naturally. But first, I had to obey the law. Then I saw the good that the law was in my life. Whereas we were doing what? Running from the law, don't want to see the law, trying to ditch and dodge the law because our deeds were what? Evil, we was breaking the law. Now I don't care. Matter of fact, when he comes by, I don't feel nothing. The other day I was driving with Jazz and we were in San Francisco, and I crossed the street and got pulled over, and Jazz said, "What happened?" I said, "I don't know." She said, "I said, no, I ain't tripping." She said, "What?" She said, "Why you ain't tripping?" I said, "I know I ain't broke no law." So he pulled the truck over, I pulled over, and he came to the thing. He said, license registration. So now I'm starting to think something like, okay, is this some profiling? Because, you know, I'm in a pretty high class area, you know. He said, "Oh, no, I just wanted you to know, sir, you have a missing taillight, and you can get that fixed right around the corner." Now watch this. Did I get mad? No, I thanked him for that. Man, thank you for letting me know that my taillight is out. Why? Because I travel at night. What if I didn't know that my brake lights were out or my taillights were out and I have to put on the brakes at night coming back from San Francisco and somebody slamming the back of my truck because my lights was out? So instead of me being, no, man, I was thankful. Man, hey, man, I really appreciate you. He's like, "Oh, yeah, just drive safe, man, but I just wanted you to know that your taillights ain't on, your brake lights ain't working." I went to the store, man, grabbed a couple of lights, about $3 or $4. Popped them in myself right in the parking lot. You know, nowadays you just pop them in, man, I'm rolling. You see how the law is a blessing, is my point. That was not so he could make money. That was so that I wouldn't get killed or cause somebody else to get killed from something as simple as your lights don't come on when you hit that brake. When we start to obey Torah, our attitude will change when we understand that the whole point of Torah is, that's why I'm about to tell light. The whole point of Torah is light, and the light is for life. Right. And of course, it's the word. Now, I asked, and I'm going to close with this. I asked a brother, he said, we ain't under no laws. I said, are you sure about that? He said, man, we ain't under the law. We are under grace. I said, so what you're saying is, you don't want to follow nothing in the Bible, in the Old Testament. He said, no. I said, okay. Let's turn to Exodus. You already know where I'm going. Exodus chapter 20. That's what I asked him in the manuscript. I said, all right. Here is the house rules for everybody. Exodus chapter 20. We talked about this in Bible class. Every home, every parent was to take these basic principles and write them on the doorpost and on the inside and, you know, keep the kids aware of this. Every family. And I asked him, so what about this bothers you so much that you claim you ain't under this no more? And Elohim spake all these words saying, I am the Lord thy Elohim. I am Yahweh is what he said. I'm Yahuwah, thy Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other else before me. I said, oh, so you ain't under that no more? Are we free from that? You can have other else. You can have other gods. And they know what? This is why they get caught up. Because if they say, yes, we can have other gods, then they know you should slap the taste out their mouth. But if they say no, then you have to say, then you're obeying the law. But the average person knows now that you cannot have Easter without having another god. Because the Easter is Astarte. She is an idol god. It's impossible for you to say, I don't have an idol, when you've got Easter. That's an idol. Or Tammuz. I ain't going on with that. Watch this. He says, number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Wait a minute, but we like graven images. So you ask a person, can we now make graven images? They say, the average church person will say, well, no. You say, but I thought you wasn't under the law. So you see, Zion, when you try to bring people into the truth, they always have this weird, stupid room that they try to run around in. And the problem is, wait a minute. In this text I just showed you, the problem is they don't like the light because we're getting ready to expose some deeds. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image nor any likeness of things that is in the heavens above nor that is in the earth beneath, that's in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself down thyself. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Ooh, I wish I had time to talk about these celebrations we do, especially that Christmas celebration where you bring the tree in the house just flat out against what Jeremiah says. Don't go cut the tree and put it in your house. Then you got nerve to put the presents under the tree to make your kids get on their hands and knees at that tree to get their gift. If that ain't the purest picture of worship, I don't know what is. All right. He says, serve them, for I, Yahuwah, thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim. And I told you what that word means. I'm very protective over mine. He said, in visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep what? Now, what about that you don't like? Oh, because you want to break his commandments. But you do know, he said, if you keep my commandments, I'm showing love to thousands. Do you see it in the text? I'm reading right out the manuscripts, huh? Watch this. 7. Thou shalt not take the name. Now watch this. Now look how crazy this translation is in your English Bible. It says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, but it don't tell you his name. So how do you know if you're taking the name in vain or not, if you don't even know what his name is? That's a cover-up. It actually says, thou shalt not take the name of Yahuwah thy Elohim in vain. For Yahweh or Yahuwah will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. What about this one? 8. Remember the Shabbat. To keep it what?
Holy.
Set apart. Now how is it, Zion? Y'all already know where I'm going. People love Sunday. They love the day more than the commandment. He said, keep the Shabbat. It's right in the text. You know what we say? Well, we got Jesus, and he is our Shabbat. Fool, Yahushua wrote this. If you love Yahushua, then you're going to do this because he wrote this. Yahushua wrote the law. He's the word made flesh. That's why when you look at his life, it says, and he was in the synagogue on the Shabbat, which was his custom. Why was it his custom? Because it's his law. Oh, but you don't like the Shabbat. So you say, he's my Shabbat. Oh, what are you talking about? He's your seventh day? He's my seventh day. He's my seventh day rest. So who's your first day? And your second day? Let's not play stupid games, Zion. Let's not be those people. Let's understand that if Yah says, remember the Shabbat and keep it separated. Now, remember I told you always say why? Why? Ask why? Here's the reason. He says in verse 9, this is the why. 6 days shall they do thy labor and do all thy works, but the seventh day, verse 10, is the Shabbat of Yahuwah, thy Elohim. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy maidservant, nor a manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. There's the word for. Remember I told you, if you go long enough, you will find either a because or a for. Now, here's why we keep the Shabbat. You don't have to ask me why we keep the Shabbat, because people have been asking me that lately. So tell me, man, how come y'all meet on the Shabbat? I'm like, wow, you do know that the book will tell you if you just read it. For in 6 days, you see verse 11? This is why you do it. For in 6 days, Yahuwah made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested on the Shabbat day, the seventh day. Wherefore, Yahweh blessed the Shabbat and hallowed it. Oh, You want to know the why we do it? I just told you. Read the manuscript. 6 days. He created everything. The seventh day he rested it. And we do it because he blessed it. Oh, but you like to sleep in on Saturday. So your deed is evil. You get the point I'm trying to make? So when a person does something as simple as bring them this verse and say, listen, I don't care what you say. Let's look at why, what the Bible says. They say, nah, man, I'm going to keep with Sunday. But you show them, okay, well, show me the instructions in the Bible where we're supposed to worship on Sunday and tell me why. And you know what they have to come back with? It's the tradition. It's church tradition. And we do it in honor of the resurrection. Really?
Well, I think they say they go by the start of the week is actually Monday. So when you start your week on Monday, then you have 7 days on Sunday.
What day is the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Everybody know that.
Right,
that's what I'm saying. Right. But everybody get in silly space, is my point. Everybody wants to jump off the text and get into some weird room because their deeds are evil. They try to, it's just what they do. Okay, here's the next one. And man, my time. Okay, let's go through these quickly. Y'all know them already. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother. How come you don't want to do that? I had a bad mom. I don't like my daddy. I didn't know my daddy. See how we do? So we don't want to be under the law because it's going to force us to honor our parents when a lot of times we don't even like our parents. So we want to be out from under the law so we can justify breaking this law. And honor don't have nothing to do with Mother's Day and Father's Day. Get that out your mind. Ain't no such thing as Mother's Day and Father's Day. It ain't no such thing as honoring your mother or honoring your father on a day. That's purely pagan. You honor them by how you live a life, watch this, under the directions of Yahweh. That's what brings honor to a father and brings honor to a mother, is how you as a child live every single day of your life. Ain't talk to your mama all for the last 8 months and then bring her to church and have her stand up. And she ain't been to church neither. And then if you don't do it, you know what? That's just sad. That's just sad. You didn't honor your mama. Zion, we got to quit playing these little dumb games. It's getting, time is almost winding up. What's the next one? Thou shalt not what? That's a real easy one. Unless you want to kill somebody. Then you want to be not under the law. No, I'm just saying. It's simple, Zion. Why don't people want to come to the light? Their deeds are evil. And they love darkness. That's why they run from the light. I've been telling Hebrew girls, as well as boys, stop killing your babies. What the hell is wrong with you? You don't kill children, and you sure enough don't kill Hebrews. But you don't kill nobody. We don't kill because it's against our Torah. It's against the word law. It's against our laws. Do you get that? But wait a minute. How come people want to avoid this? Their deeds are evil. Per capita, we make up, I think they said 80% of the killings of unborn children in, that's murder, in New York. 80% of them was done on African American, or what I know now as Hebrew Israelite women. Thou shalt not kill. Guess what? As a people group, you do know the black on black thing in America is off the freaking charts. A Hebrew is more likely to die by the hand of another Hebrew than anybody else on planet Earth. When we got a law, I'm trying to show you something. We have a law given to us by the Most High that we don't kill each other. Then why are we shooting each other? That was funny. That was funny. Then why are we shooting each other in the streets of Detroit, in Harlem, in Watts, in South Central, in San Francisco, in Oakland, when we have a law? Do y'all get that? As a community of people, we were given an instruction by the Most High, do not kill. Oh, but you want to get off under the law, huh? So guess what we have? The highest killing rate of genocide is among our own people. If we would just return to Yah's laws, the killing would stop overnight. Why? Because we'd read the law and say, thou shalt not kill. So all the brothers be like, hey, we can't kill no more. All the sisters be like, ain't no more abortions. Forget that. The Most High Yah said, thou shalt not kill, so we ain't killing no more. Don't give me no money. Don't be talking about how embarrassed I'm going to be in front of my church, my family, and mamas. I don't care what nobody say. Yah said, don't kill. I ain't killing. Period. It will stop tomorrow. If we took it tonight, it will stop tonight. Right, it's the next one, man. I'm going to the next one. I ain't gonna stop. I done got this far. Thou shalt not commit adultery. So why do we don't want to get off from the law? We want adultery. We want to commit adultery. That's why we don't want to be under the law. We got evil deeds. And in this also, it has to do with sexual immorality. So you go out, matter of fact, well, made a good point. A lot of time it's single people. But I found another trend. Married people starting to have abortions now. I mean, more and more. Married couples. Talking about, this was an accident. Negro, you was an accident. Should somebody kill you because you was an accident? Your mama and daddy wasn't planning you. Are you serious? I don't care what they told you. They was having fun. You didn't even come to their mind. Oh, I'm in his room by myself now. All of a sudden, we're going to get quiet. Thou shalt not what? Steal. The highest theft rate is among Hebrews and in the Hebrew community. Now, ain't that a shame? When in our own laws, we have a law to say don't steal. We ain't talking about no United States Constitution. I'm not talking about no city government right now. I'm talking about in our manuscript, Zion, we are told not to steal. If there is any community where you shouldn't have no bars, no locks, no alarms, you ain't got to worry about nothing. No, it should be the Hebrew community. Why? Because our laws forbid us from stealing. We don't need the government to tell us stealing is wrong. Our manuscript told us it's wrong. So we don't steal. That's why I tell people, I'm starting to almost hate what's being taught in most of our churches. Well, you got especially when it comes to these unconscious Hebrews that's over these Christian churches, saying stuff like, we ain't under the law until offering. Will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me in tithes and offering. Wait a minute. You've been preaching all day, we ain't under the law, and then offering time, you jump under the law and make everybody have to give and feel guilty. Man, you know, the Bible say, oh, I know what you're doing, player. You pimping. If you're not under the law, then why are you talking about tithing and robbing God? You do know that verse is in the Tanakh. The principle for giving is in the law. Did you catch that, Zion? Can I give you this, how about this covet thing? No. I got one more. Woo! 16. Verse 16. Thou shalt not what? You know, our people then become so accustomed to lying that we become the butt of jokes when it comes to lying. I've heard the joke say, how do you know when a Negro telling a lie? His lips is moving. I've heard that. They have made us to be the liars of the world. When in our manuscript, we are told not to bear false witness. Bearing false witness means saying something about somebody that's false and carrying that saying to somebody. I told you all what Angelus and Dickerson and Lewis and some other preachers did to me. They wrote a letter to me and read it in their churches that they tried to work with me for months to help me understand the truth. Now, that's funny to me that's funny to me, first of all, that they're like, that's funny to me. But the truth is they've never talked to me. That's the truth. But they bore a false witness and said we were teaching false doctrine. Watch this. With no because or why or what. They didn't mention one line of what we were saying or doing that was false in an entire letter written in like 12 font, the whole page. There was not one thing that said what he's teaching false is and then explain it. There was none. It started off as a lie that they have been working with me, and that's funny. Them working with me is funny. They don't know Hebrew. They don't know the law. They don't know the prophets. They don't know the New Testament. They don't know Greek. That's funny. I'm a student of the word. That's a lie. And number two, we are not false because we teach the truth of the Bible and the whole Bible. You're false for carrying false witness, and you're false. We are not the people bringing Easter baskets into our worship service and passing them out to children. We are not the ones putting up pictures of Cupid and having trunk or treat where you painting somebody's face for Halloween. We ain't having that here because the manuscript told us not to do it. But you bear false witness. Our people got that bad. You know what we like doing? Slandering and talking behind people's back. Most of our trouble in our community could be stopped if we would just shut up. Stuff you don't know, shut up. And if you want to know, ask. Don't bear false witness. Another thing, and I know I'm way over time. I'm just babbling now. But another thing Marika will tell you, that about 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, I said, because I told y'all about the law thing, right? I said, I'm not going to ever lie again. I said, so be careful talking to me because I'm going to only tell the truth from now on. I don't care who it offends, who it hurts, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to be mean. But if I don't say nothing, it's because I'm maybe trying to hold something back. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But as far as lying is concerned, I'm not doing that. If I get caught, if I go to the store and I'm shoplifting, I get caught. I'm not shoplifting, but I'm gonna have to tell them, yeah, I did it. I thought I could get out with it. I ain't going to make an excuse because I'm under the law, which the next one is adoption. I'm not going to steal either, but my point is not lying anymore. You know, some of us are so accustomed to lying, we wouldn't know how it felt to tell the truth. The other day, my wife she, you know, she's on the health food. She's trying to help me out. And she called me on the phone. She said, "Where are you at?" I said, "I'm at Krispy Kreme, baby." I was in the drive-thru. But I wasn't going to lie. I'm at Krispy Kreme. I ain't no more lying. No talking behind nobody's back. And no more lying. I don't know. I guess my wife grew up just not trusting nobody. For the first 3-4 years, she probably still do it. She'd take my phone and go through the whole phone. Find out everybody called. She would get the phone records and go through every line to see if anybody called me or if I called them. I said, "You can do this until you die, Hebrew." Ain't no lying going on here. Ever. So if you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me. Why? I'm a Hebrew. And y'all told us not to lie anymore. Whew. I ain't thinking about me. I don't know how I got on myself. Oh, because I'm just trying to let you guys see something. That these laws are yours too. So that means nobody in this church should lie anymore. Nobody in this church should covet thy neighbor's wife. What's it say? Don't covet. The last one, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Don't be wanting what everybody else got. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. Don't be talking about, "I wish that was my woman," and this one. No, man, forget that. Thou shalt not covet, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, that was his tractor of the day, nor his ass, that was his mode of transportation, his car of the day, or anything that's thy neighbor's. But do you know most churches nowadays are based on covetousness? Looking at what you don't have and trying to claim it and get it? Now, I went way over time because I was trying to get you to see one point. The reason why people don't want to live by these simple 10 commandments, because they got evil deeds. Somewhere or another, one of these or more than one of these rubs people wrong because they want to do this. They want to go against Yah. All right. So as he's passing out, I'm done. So what is, and I didn't even realize how time was going. So what is Satan's main job then?
Get us off track.
To do what?
Get us off track.
Right, but how? Darkness. Right, who said that? His main job is darkness then. His main job is to keep you in the dark. Why? Because if you're in the dark, the word cannot penetrate. If the word cannot penetrate, then that means Yeshua can't save you. If the word can't penetrate, you can't have life and life more abundant. So his job is to keep you in darkness. That is Satan's main job. And that's why he's so successful. Because he knows people love darkness more than light. So keeping them in the dark ain't that hard.
Right, right.
He just got to keep them telling you that y'all crazy because you want to walk in the light. They called me everything but a child of the Most High Yah. Watch this. When I'm living better now, at this very moment in my life, and living more holy and set apart now at this very moment in my life than I have lived my whole life.
Amen.
I'm not what I used to be. And I may not be what I should be all the way. But I'm still a work in progress because I'm walking where? In the light. Walking in the light is walking in Yahushua. Walking in Yeshua means walking in the word.
Right.
Walking in the word means walking in life. And life is Torah. Torah is the word. And Torah and it's a cycle. So I wanted you to see that you have an enemy that's against you at all times. And they don't want to see. And let me share something else. They ain't going to see unless the Most High Yah opens their eyes. That has to be our prayer. Not, Heavenly Father, give me a scripture that I can beat this person upside the head with. Give me one of these scriptures that I can just slay this Negro with next time I talk to him. No, that's not our prayer. What is the prayer? Open their eyes. Shalom, shalom.